Okay, tonight is Wednesday, January 9th. This is the Women's Gemara Shir. We're in Masechah Sukkah, and last shir on Osek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. Okay, Rabotai. Okay. What is that?
We do not need next week or the
next week. That is correct. We are going to conclude our discussion of this particular sugya. We spent the last couple of weeks on the sugya of Osek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. So over this semester, we covered two topics incredibly well: Mitzvah Haba Baveira and Osek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah. And tonight we're going to conclude. It's not that there's no more material, but we will, after the break, we'll take we'll start another sugya.
What's it going to be on?
How far is it going to be?
That's a good sugya.
What?
That's a very
yeah.
Good
yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Last shiur, we examined the question as to whether or not Osek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah applies to Talmud Torah. That was the topic. Does the principle that if I am engaged in one mitzvah, I am exempt from another mitzvah, it applies to every mitzvah? The question is, does it apply to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? And virtually all of the opinions that we examined believed that it does not apply to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Despite the fact that we had seen the first source last week, namely, that study of Torah is considered the most valuable of all pearls. The most valuable of all pearls. So think of the most expensive piece of jewelry you own. What you're doing tonight is significantly worth more than that piece of jewelry. Significantly. I'm not saying that. That's what the pasuk says. Yikara hi mipninim. It's more precious than all pearls in the world. So, despite the fact that the mitzvah of Talmud Torah does have that quality, nonetheless, everyone agreed that the purpose of the mitzvah of study is to promote commitment of mitzvot. So if that's the case, how could we ever imagine a scene that somebody is learning and taking an exemption from engaging in the performance of a mitzvah? And in fact, the very famous quip in Masechet Avot, Gadol HaMidrash, study is more significant. Shehamidrash mevi lidei ma'aseh, that study leads to action, in itself proves it. Why is study so significant? Because it broadens your horizon, and every day you learn something new of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of us and what He asks us to avoid. So the end game is always ma'aseh. We mentioned that some claim, in order to somehow recognize that the Osek B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah does apply to some extent even to Talmud Torah, that if the conflict is between Torah and a mitzvah which could be done by someone else, then we would say, you can sit and study and let somebody else attend to that mitzvah. So we use the example of going to visit somebody in the hospital, even though I understand the objection to that, we discussed all of that, but such a type of a mitzvah, if it means just to provide financial assistance from someone else, well, if somebody else can provide the financial assistance, why do I have to go? You know, and that's not going to make any difference as to who gives him the check. As long as the person gets what the person needs, the mitzvah has been addressed. Tonight, we're going to see an unusual Rambam. He will be our point of departure, who in one context decided to explain a conflict between Talmud Torah and something else in a different fashion than all of his contemporaries. And the rest of the night will be trying to explain what's running through Maimonides' mind and whether or not we can accept some of those suggestions to explain his opinion. So we mentioned it briefly last time. We will start, this is a Rambam in Hilchot Ishut, in the laws of getting married, Perek Tetvav Halacha Bet. Says the Rambam, Ha'ish mitzuveh al pirya v'ribya avolo ha'isha. This is one of the most difficult phrases to explain to this audience. Very difficult. And I don't have a good explanation, other than the fact that it's learned that from a pasuk. And the pasuk is just like ignoring reality. A man is commanded of the mitzvah to be fruitful and multiply. A woman is not obligated. How does the Gemara learn that out? We learn it out from the word where the Torah says, "Pru uravu umilu et haaretz vekivshuha." Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and conquer it. Okay? We know what conquer it means. That our challenge is to try to reign control over nature, over illness. That's our challenge in this world. To somehow try to attempt to gain superiority over nature taking its course and not eliminating it us. So that's why we have doctors who do research all the time. Hopefully one day they'll be successful and find a cure to cancer. Hopefully they will. We see that they've made enormous strides in attacking and preventing a myriad of illnesses. And the same thing is in terms of the weather and so on and so forth. Fine. Well, since the word vikivshua is used, the Gemara darshins Ish darko lichbosh, ve'ein ha'isha darka lichbosh. In the context of war, who engages in conquest? Men engage in conquest. So therefore, since men engage in the act of kibush, therefore, since the word vikivshua is used as part of the phrase of pruvu, they come to the conclusion that the mitzvah itself rests upon the male and not the female. Okay? You know, again, it's a funny type of a drash considering that men don't give birth. It's a very strange halacha. Very strange halacha. And, you know, if I had some ability to change it, I would change it tomorrow morning.
I guess you just put a comma there. The pruvu is for the women and the kishua is for the men. Okay.
Okay.
Just take a little comma.
Okay.
Yeah.
As you well know,
that's
there
the
are
easiest
no,
thing to
there's
do.
No punctuation
that's
in
right.
the Torah.
Just
so
assume it's there.
That's all?
But
okay.
Also your interpretation of conquering applies to women as well. In other words, if you use that interpretation.
But the Gemara women. Did not. The Gemara used the conquest
of
as a tactic of military war.
Right.
And even today, women are participating in combat roles,
yeah.
Both the United States and in the United Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But the Onesh of Chava, the Hutim Shol, what's the Pasuk? The Hutim Shol Bach.
The Huyim Shol Bach.
Would also imply something about empowerment of the male, on the female.
Yeah, that he, yes.
That's the same, kind of the same.
Yeah, to some extent, yes. But let's not spend the whole night on it and get angry and aggravated.
Because
there is no good explanation. I'm just telling you, that's the fact. Umeematai ha'ish nitchayev b'mitzvah zu. When is a man obligated to perform this mitzvah? So, what would you say without looking at the next words of the Rambam?
Okay,
that's because the Mishnah says that. Before you know that Mishnah, when would you say any man is chayav to observe every single mitzvah of the Torah?
From
bar mitzvah. Okay? So, there are some Rishonim who believe that Ruvu is like every other mitzvah. You have to eat matzah when you're 13. You have to put on tefillin when you're 13. You've got to have a baby when you're 13. Okay. Rambam and the Mishnah in Masechet Avot were a little wiser than that and said it doesn't make much sense that you should mandate a 13-year-old child with the responsibility of fatherhood. So the Rambam says, Mi ben shva esre, not 18, but 17. Much better. It is much better than 13. Correct. It is. Of course it is. Now the Rambam continues. I give him 3 years. 3 years. V'kevin she'avru esrim shana v'lo nasar isha. If 20 years have reached, he's reached age 20, and he has not yet gotten married, hareze over umivatel mitzvat aseh. At that point, he transgresses the mitzvah, and it's a mitzvah that you don't, it's not a lav that you don't transgress, but you fail to be mekayim the mitzvah aseh. Now the Rambam also knows that even if you get married when you're 13 or 18 or 25, no one is guaranteed to have a child. So all a person is expected to do is to make an attempt to have a child. That's all you can do. And if you make an attempt, you fulfill your mitzvah, at least in theory, but we'll see later, you don't really fulfill your mitzvah, but you're not held accountable for being mivatel a mitzvah saseh. If you try to have a child. Now, here comes the line for tonight's discussion. V'im haya osek batorah, if you were a yeshiva bochur, v'tarud ba, and you're very preoccupied in learning, v'haya mityare melisa isha, and he was afraid of getting married, k'dei shelo yitrach b'mizonot, so he should not be faced with the burden of providing a living. Notice Rambam didn't expect the father-in-law excuse. The father-in-law route. He expects you to work. And then, v'yivatel min ha-Torah, ha-reze mutar lehitacher. You're allowed to delay it until a certain time. He doesn't here tell us how long are you allowed to delay it. Now, here the Rambam is, now the Rambam is going to say something which is going to serve as our point of departure. Up until the Rambam, this last statement, how would you explain the decision of the Rambam that if you want to learn and you think that getting married is going to interfere with your ability to learn, that you can delay getting married? How can you explain that halacha to me without looking at the last line of the Rambam? Just explain the mitzvah, the conflict, and how did the Rambam resolve the conflict? How did what? So osek b'mitzvah.
Yeah,
that's what I asked you not to say.
Oh.
I know that's what the Rambam is going to say. So I want to frame the Rambam's chidush based on how everybody else resolves this without interfering with osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Give me another path in which you can help resolve this mitzvah.
Torah is more important than anything else.
But how does the mechanism work in terms of my conflict of mitzvah A versus mitzvah B? Yeah?
It's going to teach you to do other mitzvah by studying Talmud Torah, so it's okay.
No, that's the general explanation why Talmud Torah is so important. But we said last week, we don't apply the standard of Osek B'mitzvah to Talmud Torah. It doesn't apply. So if you'll be studying all night tonight and say, you know what, I don't have to read Kriya Shema at night, we don't accept that argument. So what would be happening here as an allowance to enable you to study Torah?
This is totally different, but the study of Torah is a definite that I could do now. If I get married, I don't know, I don't know what's going to happen.
Tell me why I don't have to get married.
You already were studying Torah.
What?
You already been studying Torah and you would have to stop.
But tell me why, without Osek B'mitzvah.
Because there's no there's no deadline of getting married and having children.
Okay. Just give me. So now, how is the conflict resolved?
You'll eventually.
But right now, the mitzvah is incumbent upon you now. You can't say I'm going to do a mitzvah 6 years later from now. Right now, there's a conflict. So the answer is, the way it's simply explained is, there is no conflict. We have suspended your obligation to get married.
So that mitzvah doesn't exist at the moment.
Exactly. Because of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, we know how complex getting, studying under circumstances of marriage is. As a result, under those circumstances, we have resolved this by saying we're giving you a reprieve. For a couple of years, you don't have to get married. So if you don't have to get married, what mitzvah is now incumbent upon you? Just the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So go ahead and learn. That's the way everybody sees this conflict and the resolution to delay this mitzvah. That there is a mitzvah to get married when you're 17. There's a mitzvah. But if you want to learn, says the Rambam, you don't, the Rambam's not, he's going to say something else. But everybody else will say, you want to learn, you know what? We'll relieve you of the mitzvah for a couple of years.
No, it's not. I'm in the middle of learning Torah, and I'm going to do another mitzvah. I could say, okay, because I'm learning Torah, I'll suspend that other mitzvah.
But we don't. That's just it. By all other mitzvot, we do not suspend or the mitzvah. There's no principle of oseik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah within regards to Talmud Torah. It doesn't exist.
Except this.
Except this situation according to the Rambam. And I'm saying all other commentaries on this conflict in the Gemara don't bring in Oseik B'mitzvah. They say Talmud Torah never is a reason not to exempt another mitzvah, not to perform another mitzvah. So if that's the case, why don't you have to get married? Because there is no conflict. The halacha is granting you a delay.
So this is just an exception to any rule.
Right.
Correct. That's correct. Correct. So if I am relieved of my obligation to observe it, there is no conflict between Talmud Torah and getting married. There's no conflict. Why is there no conflict? Chazal said you can have a 3-year pass. So you don't have to go on a date. You don't have to do anything. Just sit and learn.
This was no principle. This was just they decided to accept it in this case.
Correct.
It's not a principle.
I didn't say it's a principle. Oh. It's a simple way of resolving a conflict that exists between Talmud Torah and every other mitzvah. Mm-hmm. This mitzvah is on hold. So now I don't have a conflict any longer. Oseik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah means I recognize there is a conflict. Right. So how do I resolve that conflict? I engage in mitzvah A and ignore mitzvah B. Ignore. Here, that methodology doesn't exist to Talmud Torah. By Talmud Torah, what's normally the rule? That if you have Talmud Torah versus a mitzvah, you stop Talmud Torah. You stop A, and what do? You do B. So then what should have been the ruling here? Get married and stop learning. So everybody says, no, there's no mitzvah, the mitzvah's been suspended, except for the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the explanation, why is it that you don't have to get married? Sheha'osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, v'chol shekein b'talmud Torah. V'chol shekein b'talmud, since oseik b'mitzvah is patur min ha-mitzvah, certainly the mitzvah of Talmud Torah grants you an exemption to get married. But according to the Rambam, what else should Talmud Torah grant you an exemption to do? Every other mitzvah. The Rambam doesn't say this is the only exception. He makes a broad sweeping statement. Sheha oseik b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, that's the general rule, v'chol shekein Talmud Torah. Certainly if you're learning, not just eating in a sukkah or doing something else, if you're learning, certainly you're exempt from every other mitzvah. And the problem is with the Ramban that this rule is simply not true. The Rambam himself, in another source, said that it doesn't apply. We'll see. But that's what we're going to spend time on, to understand how the Rambam decided to apply Oseik B'Mitzvah to Talmud Torah. Yes?
I'm still not understanding the other way of resolving it.
The other way of resolving
it... Is it that the Rabbanan is then just making a deraita disappear?
No. No place in the Torah does it say when this mitzvah starts.
But you're saying it's not even...
Who said it's 17 or 18?
So that would be
the Rabbanan. Okay. It's like 90% of all other... Right. 99. Torah doesn't give us any guidelines about mitzvot. The rabbis fill it in.
So it's a timal suspension. It's not a suspension...
A time mitzvah suspends. According to the Rambam, from age 13 to 17, you're not obligated to observe this mitzvah. After 17, you are obligated. Unless you're learning, we continue the exemption of trying to get married. We continue to extend. Don't forget, from 13 to 17, you are exempt. The Rambam said that. You're only obligated from age 17. But if you're learning, we extend it to age 20. Yeah?
Where did it come up with age 17?
I have no idea. I have no idea. And I didn't look tonight at some of the commentaries on the Rambam on the side, where they will try to figure out where the Rambam got his source from. One thing about the Rambam is he tells us in his introduction, I will never give you any sources. Because he didn't want anybody to start fighting with him. I'm here to write a guide for what? For practical halakha. So just tell, here is the practical halakha. And just accept it. That's exactly what it says.
But you're the doctor. I mean, there's some common sense behind it.
I didn't say there isn't. Yeah.
So the rabbis came up with this, whether 17 or whatever, and then said that you could now push it off based on the Talmud Torah. So why is Peru Ravu not in the same...
This is Peru Ravu.
You're talking about getting married.
Why do you have to get married? No other reason.
Okay, I didn't know. Okay.
There is no other reason to get married.
I didn't know that. That's what
you're
saying.
None.
Don't you think it's a dating statement? Like he says 17 to 20, so it takes 3 years. It's like this is interesting. Most people.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that's the question we're going to focus on. Let's move to page number 2, which is the tshuva of the Maram Sheikh. He lived in the 18th century. And the question itself was a little unusual. Let's read the top line, just the question of the question. Nish'alti, I was asked. I misrame le'ish ben chaf. If a person age 20, shiduch, he was, gerete mashidach. Exactly, the gerete mashidach. The feinste, the shainste, everything.
The wealthiest.
Umuftach lo, and he knows. Im yamtin od ezeshani. If you just be a little more patient. Yuchala asot shiduch yoter hagun. I'd be able to what? Make a better shidduch. Guy who's even wealthier than the first guy. Gam im ya'ase shiduch harishon yesh lachush lo lebitul Torah v'yira. That if he delays, if he gets married right now to this first shidduch, he's not going to be able to learn any longer. And who knows how that's going to affect his Yirat Shamayim? I mechuyav laasot dafka kishehu ben chaf. If he's obligated, as it says in Shulchan Aruch, the latest time to start getting married is age 20. Or does he have a right to delay? That was his question. So... the Maram Sheikh, divides it into 3 categories. We are only interested in the category of the conflict of this individual that he wants to continue learning after age 20. That's the only thing that's of our interest tonight. Okay? So we continue in the bracketed areas below. So he says, Omnom, mitam chashash bitul Torah, the concern expressed that he's not going to be able to learn, shaper dami, that is a legitimate concern. How do I know? The Harambam, the Hare Pasakein Harambam, the Rambam himself said that this is a legitimate concern. Where? Beperek tetvava hilchot ishut. We just read it 5 minutes ago. Da afilu rak chashash v'yarei sheyitbatel. Even just a possible fear that I'm going to have to be mevatel Torah. Mutar lo lehitacher. He is permitted to what?
Delay.
To delay. V'im chashka nafsho batorah. And if a person is romantically in love with the Torah, yes, he choked. That's the Rambam's phrase on the previous page, the next halach. Because Ben Azai, one of the Mishneic Tanaim, never got married. And they asked him, how come you not getting married? I'm in love with the Torah. And he was harshly criticized by Chazal for his position. But the Rambam gave him a pass. Choshka nafsho batorah, mutar levatel ligamre. He can push aside the mitzvah of getting married completely. The Harambam nosantam lozeh, mishim de osek b'mitzvah pturis. That if you're engaged in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, you are exempt from getting married. Ube'emet, tamzeh kosheli alav. I find Rambam's explanation to apply that Oseik B'mitzvah applies here, I find it to be very difficult. V'chi ha'oseik b'torah yehei patur mikol mitzvot ha'amurot b'torah. Does somebody who's learning in a kollel can say, I don't have to eat in the sukkah, I don't have to eat matzah, I don't have to daven, I don't have to put on tefillin, based on the rationale of Oseik B'mitzvah patur min ha'mitzvah? The chain hiksha b'Yerushalmi perikama. Okay, I don't need a similar question was asked to Yerushalmi. I don't need that. Go to the next bracketed line. The al karchak sarich lomar to defend the Rambam. The pru urvu piri of aribia mikre efshar lehiskayin efshar lehiskayin. What does that mean? Efshar lehiskayin. Who? Where does that phrase come up? Efshar lehiskayin al yedei acherim.
We just did this today.
Acherim.
We talked about this with designating an agent, but that.
Yeah. He does not designate an agent. He's just saying, what's the purpose of the mitzvah pruvu? What's the purpose?
To populate the world.
To populate the world. Well, somebody else can populate the world. Why does it have to be me?
But everyone could be this person.
I know, but it's not everybody who wants to learn. We are not granting this exception unless you want to learn. The ikar hatam limalei v'leishev ha'olam. The purpose of this mitzvah is to populate the world. Now, this is not 100% accurate. There are two levels of the mitzvah pruvu. Two different levels. There is the basic core mitzvah. How many children do you have in order to fulfill the mitzvah pruvu? Two. A boychik and a medlar. A boy and a girl. That's it. Now, pruvu does not accomplish populating the world necessarily. Why? Because the mother and the father are going to die, and all they do is replace them with the two, the son and the daughter. That's not populating the world. So therefore the Rabbanan then say, we should try to have more children than two, than the biblically required number. Try to have more children. Why should you have try to have more children? To populate the world.
Yeah, but if you're just talking about one couple, but if everyone's having two children and they're all, then it becomes exponentially.
Okay, that's true. But if you just look at the first couple itself, okay. They haven't guaranteed that they have fulfilled the mitzvah unless their kids have children. But they could guarantee it if they had more children themselves. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Koheles, where the pasuk says, "Baboker zra et zarecha," attempt to have children during the day, meaning early on in your life when you're still vigorous. Ula erev, and when you get a little older, al tanach yadecha. Don't leave that activity alone. Try to have children as long as you physically and mentally are capable of having a child. So he's claiming that since this, so I'm arguing with him. He claims that the purpose of the mitzvah is to populate the world. You can disagree with him. The core mitzvah of having a child is not for the purpose of populating the world. It's a mitzvah like all other mitzvot. Have two children. And in fact, there's a little difficulty. Because if you have five boys, you've populated the world very nicely. But you have not been mekayem the mitzvah of peruvu. You have not. You have to have a boy and a girl. And this Shammai and Hillel argue about that. Shammai says, you learn out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He created Adam and Chava. That's a boy and a girl. So we should try to do a boy and a girl too. Shammai says you have to have two boys, because Moshe Rabbeinu, who probably knew a thing or two about Halacha, had Gershom and Eliezer, and that was it. He never had a girl. And then he separated from his wife. Why did he separate from his wife if he knew he had not yet fulfilled the mitzvah of Peruvu? So there are guidelines. And also, the mitzvah of Peruvu, as you pointed out, hinges upon your child having a child as well. And that if your children do not have children of their own, you retroactively do not fulfill the mitzvah of Peruvu. So I... What? One more generation. That's it. One.
So you hedge your bets.
Yes. So his statement is not so compelling that I'm going to define the mitzvah of Peruvu as a mitzvah that can be done by somebody else. You know, it's very difficult to define. I would normally say that Peruvu is compared not to the mitzvah of Bikur Cholin, where somebody else could have visited. How would you define the mitzvah of, it's a bodily obligation, just like doing any other mitzvah, like eating in the sukkah, taking a lulav, eating matzah, hearing the shofar. You have to do it personally. You can't pass off this responsibility to somebody else. But the Maram Shik does. Therefore, now the Rambam is not such a unique chidush. That's what he's claiming. Because the Rambam himself told us last week that I agree with the Gemara as well, that if somebody else can do the mitzvah, then you're allowed to continue learning. So this is not such a shakaru that the mitzvah, that the p'tur of osek b'mitzvah, pater min ha-mitzvah applies to Talmud Torah. It does apply to Talmud Torah. When somebody else can perform the mitzvah. And he is of the opinion, which is something radical, that Peruvu is a mitzvah which could be fulfilled by somebody else. It's very difficult, and there are those who disagree with him completely.
Yeah, I don't like the Shaila, because...
You don't like the Shaila?
I'll tell you why.
Okay, but it was asked, nothing you can do.
It's a funny kind of... Why? Because this guy, does he really want to learn more? He doesn't want that first shidduch. He's willing to... And the second one might be better in a few years... It's not an honest. Yeah. He's not an honest Talmud. There's something about that question that says,
He's not asking for the delay for the right reason.
Right, exactly.
He's looking for a better shiva. As an afterthought, he said, the Rosh Hashiva is going to reject me for that. I also want to learn.
Right. It's kind of like someone with issues.
It's
like a straight question.
Right. And
lots of them. That's correct. I hear you.
If it's honest.
I hear you. Yes.
Why does he even have to go there if he thinks he can do better? Isn't that enough of a reason that he shouldn't have to ask the Rosh Hashiva?
No. It's not, because he's reached the age limit.
Yes,
it says in Shulchan Aruch, you must try to get married by age 20. And he was 20 already. So he, like every good yeshiva bachar, you got to ask your Rosh Hashiva for everything. You got to ask Rosh Hashiva. And don't forget, learning all day is a really tough life.
It is. No,
you have to be woken up twice a day. That's the real tough thing about a Purim guy.
I have a problem.
He gets wake up in the morning, then when he goes home for his afternoon break, has to be woken up again. It's really tough. Yes.
I have a problem with this too, because as we see in communities, things become the norm. Mm-hmm. It becomes the pressure. So if all of a sudden the pressure is this guy's in love with learning, and he can't get married because Torah is his love, and the bigger, more you learn, and the more it becomes the thing. So you can see a whole population of yeshiva bachers who don't want to get married because really that takes precedence.
So, Rambam,
so then you're going against really
I know. Rambam and others have said nobody has a right to say Chashka Nafshi Batorah. It was limited to Ben Azar. Mm-hmm. None of his colleagues thought that they'd applied. I'm talking about Rabbi Akiva didn't think, he got married. Everybody got married. They all had children.
So mostly they're saying 20 is the limit, but you could wait till 20.
That's correct.
Okay.
What is Chashka? What
is Chashka, I'm romantically in love with Torah. And my heart desires, Cheshek. Heart desires Torah.
But that's a different kind of desire than being married. So
I
you can have both.
I understand.
So for some of you, right? Hopefully,
you'll
have four kids, and therefore you're
comfortable
for your two kids.
Correct. Somebody will have four kids. I'll have to make my two contributions. Right? Now, go to page 3 for a minute. And the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, this is the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. He authored a Shulchan Aruch. It's called the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. It's not the regular Shulchan Aruch. It's not the Aruch HaShulchan. It's another body of work authored by the first Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he says, this Ramshik makes no sense. And he writes, I bracketed the relevant line. Aval ha-mitzvah eina mitkayemet al yidei acherim. Your mitzvah cannot be fulfilled by somebody else having a child. Ki ha-mitzvah hi al kol echad ve-echad bifrat. The mitzvah is saddled upon every individually, personally. Vehi chovat haguf kisuka velulav. It's like an obligation, like any other obligation. Shetzarich lahafsik mitalmud Torah. And you have to stop learning to fulfill those mitzvahs. Velo sagi bameh shekol Yisrael yoshvim basukot. You can't say, you know what, I'm going to learn. Everybody else is sitting in the sukkah. So what do I have to sit in the sukkah for? That rationale is absurd, he claims. And he's right. And therefore, it's just as absurd in relationship to Talmud Torah. That you can't say somebody else is going to be mekayim the mitzvah. No. So that of the Prince of Peruvu for me. I have to perform Peruvu. Therefore, what if we reject the Maram Shik, we're left with the question on the Rambam. Why does Rambam say that Oseik B'mitzvah, Pater Min HaMitzvah, allows you to defer marriage? Why it doesn't allow you to defer any other mitzvah? Why does it allow you to defer marriage? So, we try something else.
Rabbi,
yes?
Is there any other mitzvah that is really out of your hands? Meaning, you know, there are people who can't have children.
Yes.
Is there any other
mitzvah? I can't think of another mitzvah.
I find this so strange. I find it hard to...
What?
What's that?
put on children if you don't have an arm.
Okay, but that's yeah.
But they're not telling
you that's
children.
That's not a natural event. Here, the it's a natural event to try to have relations with somebody and not be blessed with a child. It
happens. One second. If you're attempting to keep having children, you just keep on having boys. You just keep on having boys, and you just don't fulfill mitzvah no matter how many boys you have.
That's
just
correct.
Even though, it's like she's saying, it's not
the answer
her.
Is
you
even
have 12 children. You don't have children. You have 12 children. You have fulfilled the mitzvah of populating your backyard tremendously. But technically, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. Trust me, I know that HaKadosh Baruch was not going to come down hard on somebody who has 12 boys and no girls.
Yeah.
I have a pretty good assurance about that.
The daughter-in-law is considering his daughter.
What?
And your children, your grandchildren.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And doesn't effort count?
So there's no mitzvah on the woman to get married or Adler?
There is no mitzvah upon the woman? No, absolutely not. There is one.
Okay. Because they could put her in danger.
No, that's not the reason.
What's the reason?
That you can't ask someone to put themselves in danger, and it was considered dangerous.
That's what I heard.
To get that.
Childbirth was dangerous, so you don't
put
on the woman.
No. That's not the reason.
So what's the reason?
That what? Why it's not a mitzvah?
Yeah, for a woman.
Because the drash was only if you engage in conquest.
Only men
engage in conquest, because the Torah uses the word vikivshua. That's the only reason. It's a very tough drash. It's a tough drash. But I always say, I don't want to put the fault. I'm just taking 7 1 second. As I mentioned today during the Chumash class, there are two ways to approach drashot Chazal. When we read a pasuk and we infer a halacha from that pasuk, there are two ways to look at the drash. I've mentioned this on other occasions. There was what we call midrash yotzer, a midrash that creates the halacha. In other words, until the Tannaitic time, which was between the year 1 of the Common Era until the year 200 of the Common Era, that was the time of the compilation of the Mishnah, this halacha never existed. No one ever heard of it. And they created the halacha. How did they create it? By using one of the Yud Gimel Midot Shehatorah Nidrashet Bayim. One of the 13 methods, Akal V'Chomer, Gzeres Shavah, they made it up. That's a small minority of drashot Chazal. The majority of them are what we call midrash mikayim. Mikayim means to sustain, to support. The halacha was there from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Sinai. And in what corpus was it relayed? Torah Sheba'al Peh. It was not in Torah Shebiksav. It's in Torah Shebaal Peh. During certain times, Torah Shebaal Peh was under attack. In various generations, under attack. The Tztukim, Torah Shebaal Peh was under attack. And other periods as well. So what did the Chazal look to do? They looked to link a mitzvah that is recorded in Torah Shebaal Peh and hang their hat on a pasuk in the Torah. Even though the pasuk in the Torah has nothing to do with this mitzvah. But if we can just share with the people that, you know what, this word, this extra letter, this does, this that, you hang it on your hat and you now say, oh, it's in the Torah. So today I discussed in the Chumash class about the word S. S. An innocuous word in the Chumash, which appears thousands of times. And it means nothing. Nothing. I can translate every single pasuk that has the word S in it, and I understand exactly what the Torah said. Kabeid et avicha ve'et imecha. I can read it, kabeid avicha ve'imecha. I know exactly what the Torah said. So there was a person by the name of Shimon Ha'amsoni who said, the word et is extra. It's there for me to darshan. What is a darshan? Lirabot achicha hagadol. That your older brother you have to respect him. And whatever level of kibud is applicable to a mother and father, you are obligated to provide to your older brother. Doesn't say that in the Chumash. Doesn't say that. But it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. Where? From the word et. Trust me, the word et does not mean your older brother.
Does he darshan every et?
Yes!
Oh.
He only failed to darshan one. Et Hashem Elokecha Tira. Fear God. I can't
what
put anybody
else. What say about that?
So Rabbi Akiva said, L'rabos Talmidei Chachamim, that there is an obligation to establish a sense of awe and reverence, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but for Talmidei Chacham. So whatever laws apply in Yir'ah for a parent, apply to a Talmud Chacham. So you're not allowed to sit at the seat where a Talmud Chacham sits, just like you're not allowed to sit at the seat where your parents occupy the dining room table. You can't stand at a location where a Talmud Chacham davens and shul. They have their makom kavua. You're not allowed to take that seat. So we darshan many things from the word es. But that's not what the pasuk meant. It was part of Torah Shabbat Peh. And therefore they looked to someone. Part of Torah Shabbat Peh was being attacked. So they went ahead and said, you know what? It's in the text someplace else. That's the purpose of these drashot. Of these drashot. So let's see now how a second... Yes, question. Sorry, yeah.
I think Cheryl had asked something like just a few moments ago, that is there any other mitzvah that wouldn't be able to perform without your hands or something? How did you exactly phrase that, Cheryl?
That if you don't have a hand, you can't wear tefillin. Right, hey, but that's an unusual situation.
Right, so I was going to ask you, why wouldn't you say that about Shiloh HaKhan? What if you live in a place where there's no bird nest, you know?
So?
So if you can't perform that mitzvah.
You don't have an obligation to perform it unless you encounter it. The Torah begins its words, Ki karei kan sipor lefanecha. Should you encounter one? If you don't encounter one, what can you do? There's no mitzvah.
The difference is that this is
when you have to
mitzvah.
Do it.
That's a situational mitzvah. It's clearly a situation. It says. Yeah. So now let's see what Kovet Shiurim. Kovet Shiurim was authored by Rebbe Chanan Wasserman. He was an outstanding yeshiva person in the world of yeshivot prior to World War II. Prior to World War II.
Where was
it? In... what's the name of his town? What? Yeah, but I forgot the name. I know his town. Just
what did you say, Lithuania?
It's in Lithuania someplace. Now, he came to America in the early 30s and was advised to stay. And he unfortunately made a decision to go back, and he died during the Shoah. And he wrote a 2-volume sefer called Kovetz Shiurim. It's actually put together by his students. And he's a Baranovich. That's where he's from. Baranovich. That's where he's from. And he's part of the great traditions of the European Rashi Yeshiva, Rav Chaim, the Rav's grandfather, many others, the Birka Shmuel, and a lot of Rashi Yeshiva, the Rashi of Tells. So he says as follows. So he writes at the beginning the exact same question that we had, and he answers as follows. I bracketed too early. So he writes, you see where it's bracketed, where
yeah.
I bracketed Khan? Go
yeah.
1, 2, 3 lines later. In the middle of the line, there's a tzadi lamed, v'tzarech lomar.
Yeah.
V'tzarech lomar. Everybody have it?
Yeah.
Good. V'tzarech lomar, we have to say to defend the Rambam, kevon de'ayri ha-Rambam hocha, le'inyin ichur ha-mitzvah, v'lo le'inyin bitula legamre, ma she'efshar le'kaimo al yidei atzmo, le'achar zman, heverle ke'efshar l'kaima al yidei acherim. What does he say? I'll read it again in a second. There has never been a discussion about getting married, of learning, and never getting married. No one has ever granted a heter, except to Ben Azai, but no one else is like Ben Azai. No one has ever said that you are permitted to continue learn and ignore completely your responsibility. The only thing that we have granted is a temporary delay. That's it, a delay. And some Rishonim say the delay is 18. Because that's what the Mishnah says. Ben Shmona Esrei L'Chuppah. We delayed it from 13 to 18. Karo, as he usually does, follows Rambam. And Rambam decided, maybe because he is a doctor, and he knows how challenging it is for an 18-year-old punk to get married. Maybe he understood that. And therefore he delayed it until age 20. So, when you're dealing, here he makes a little jump, that when you're dealing with not canceling or annulling a mitzvah, but only delaying it, it has the same status as if the mitzvah could have been done by somebody else. So if the mitzvah could have done by somebody else, everyone agrees, we read the Gemara last week, then you're allowed to continue learning if a mitzvah couldn't be done by someone else. Rambam created a new category. No one else says it. That if a mitzvah is not being ignored totally, a mitzvah is only being delayed, under those circumstances, I treat it during the delay as if someone else can perform that mitzvah, and hence the exemption of osek b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, applies under these circumstances. That's how he resolves it, introducing that the Rambam introduced a new category, namely mitzvah versus delay. Most mitzvot, you know, they have time factors. You can't delay the mitzvah of making a shiva visit for the rest of your life, because after they get up from shiva, there's no more shiva visit. You can't delay bikur cholin for the rest of your life. Correct. That's what he's saying. That's exactly what he's saying. It is Osek B'mitzvah, Patur Min HaMitzvah. But right now, you are granted it even for Talmud Torah because we are not looking to eradicate this mitzvah completely. We're only looking to temporarily suspend it. That's all we're looking for. So again, it's a nice, you know, a thought. And everybody's here trying to defend the Rambam. Because the Rambam said something unusual. That Osek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah applies to Talmud Torah. When everybody in the world, we all read it last week, that it doesn't. So the Rambam made up a new category. Namely, if you're trying to eliminate a mitzvah, Osek B'mitzvah Patur Min HaMitzvah has no application to learning. If you're only trying to delay a mitzvah, that's okay.
You could delay other mitzvot, like kibud abayim. You could delay visiting your Rebbe and stuff like that.
How can you delay kibud abayim?
Because
your father's asking for a glass of tea.
I'll do it next week.
But that, okay. He asked you for a cup of tea and you say, I'll bring it to you next week? That's not kibud abayim. Okay. I'm not saying you shouldn't go visit a parent, but the mitzvah of kibud abayim is technically when the parent makes a request. Going to visit them is a nice idea, but if they didn't ask for you to specifically come and visit,
not considering.
It is a fulfillment of a mitzvah, but not obligatory at that moment. None. Good. So that's his answer. And in fact, he brings a tshuva of the Rashba on page 5 to support his opinion. This is a very brief tshuva of the Rashba. Mm-hmm. Rashba is a Sephardic scholar in Spain. He was the number one Talmud of the Ramban. The Ramban spawned lots of Talmudim in his yeshiva. And the Rashba was the number one we have several thousand teshuvot of the Rashba. Several thousand teshuvot written, preserved by the Rashba or his students, several thousand. So if there were several thousand people who looked for his advice, he must have been recognized as a world-class scholar. World-class scholar. In fact, Judy, I'm sure your husband will remember Dr. Agus. He was a history professor who hated Sephardic Jewry and thought that they were highly inferior to Ashkenazic Jewry, highly inferior. And the only way in which he measured how great a medieval scholar was by the number of responsa that he wrote. So Maram Meirutenberg, Rabbi Meir of Rothenburg, the Rebbe of the Rush, wrote the most anybody, 7,000 tshuvot he recorded. It was very easy because he was in jail for so many years. He was captured by somebody, and the Jewish community was told, either you give me $1 million or he's going to be in jail for the rest of his life. And he told them, do not redeem me. Because if you redeem me, 5 minutes later, they're going to take me again captive. So he spent his life in jail, and they gave him pieces of paper and a pen, and people came to the window of the jail and dropped in the questions. He studied it. No books available. His own computer mind. And that's how he authored 7,000 tshuvot. Wow. So he allows, Ram Rutenberg's the greatest. He always said the Rambam is a third-rate scholar. Oh, wow. Because he only has 243 tshuvot. The Rambam's work, which is called Pe'er Hador, the Rambam's tshuva work, well, only 243 people asked his opinion. What kind of a scholar could he have been? Right? And his famous line was, while our ancestors were studying Torah, their ancestors were swinging from trees. This is a professor in college. A professor.
A little dated.
What?
A little dated.
I know. But I know. But how many years did he teach in YU? 40 years? 50?
A long
time. He was one of the greatest lecturers I've ever had. People didn't listen to him, but they listened to the lectures. They thought he was crazy. Thought he was crazy. In fact, there's a famous story about Rabbi Kanefel, who wrote his PhD and had to defend in front of Dr. Agus, because medieval Jewish history is Rabbi Kanefel's thing. So Agus asked him, what idiot would write this statement in their thesis paper? So Rabbi Kanefel says, I was quoting you. Famous line. But anyhow, here comes the Rashba.
Is that apocryphal?
No. That has happened. That actually happened. Let's take a look at the Rashba. Says the Rashba. Here is the question that was asked him. She'ela. Mi shenishba shelo yisa isha ad zman yadua. If somebody takes an oath that he will not get married until a certain date. So, I'm going to give you the basis of the question. If I take an oath, I am never going to take a lulav. Is the oath take effect?
No.
No. Why not? You can't take an oath to counter what? A mitzvah of the Torah. Well, this guy took an oath and I'm not getting married for 20 years. So what should you say based on logic? Logic.
He can't
take effect?
No. Depends what he's doing, though.
No. He's going to be sitting going to ball games. The question is, does the oath take effect? And if he does get married, what will happen? He will have desecrated his oath. So the Rashba says, the oath takes effect. Because just because there is a mitzvah of getting married, waiting 20 years doesn't mean you're what?
You're
eliminating the mitzvah. What are you doing? Postponing the mitzvah. So therefore, the oath takes effect. The only time that the rule applies, that you can't take an oath about a mitzvah, is if you're taking an oath to nullify a mitzvah. I swear I'm not eating matzah on Pesach. So what do? We tell you, we give you lashes right away for a false oath, and then you go ahead and eat matzah, no problem. That always happens when you try to counter a mitzvah. Says the Rashba, this oath takes effect. So if this oath takes effect, it shows that part of the recognition of this mitzvah is what? Delay is okay.
Yeah.
That's what the Kovet Shiurim, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, says to defend the Rambam. That the Rambam agrees that the mitzvah of getting married is not time fixed at age 20. It is delayable. How far should delay is subject to debate, but it's delayable. And therefore, Talmud Torah can be an exempting factor for the fulfillment of this mitzvah at a later date. At a later date.
It's kind of like delaying the bris.
What?
It's sort of like being able to fulfill the mitzvah of having a bris later in life.
No, that's not... you're not allowed to delay. It's on the eighth day.
But
the mitzvah... you don't have it, so you do it at any time.
So then it's still a mitzvah, though.
Correct, it's still a mitzvah. It's still a mitzvah, no doubt. Of course it's a mitzvah. Of course it's a mitzvah. Yes.
But all the talk of being allowed to delay the mitzvah of getting married, what about if you are married, delaying having children?
That's a different discussion.
Right. But I'm just wondering if there are parallels.
Okay. There are not.
Okay.
The overwhelming majority of authorities take the hard line on practicing birth control after you get married. Take the hard line. I discussed it with the Rav many times. And he said, here was the example he gave. A boy gets married to a young lady, and he goes over to his father-in-law and says, you know what, I love your daughter, I want to get married, but I can't accept responsibility to provide a roof over her head, and I can't accept the responsibility to feed her. What do you think the father-in-law is going to say?
Goodbye.
You're not ready to get married.
Yes.
Having children is one of the responsibilities of getting married. If you're not ready to have a child, don't get married. That's what he said. And I have this opportunity with many of the young men and women in this shul who come to me and ask about they're planning to get married, back practicing birth control. And I always tell them what the Rav said, but then I always conclude, always. I know what the Rav said, and so on and so forth. I know what the halach is. But under no circumstances should you ever consider having a child only because the halacha said you have to have it. That's the worst possible thing. For a child to grow up and a parent to say, I didn't really want this child. I was forced to have the child. And in my humble opinion, I could be burned in hell for this. If they already got married, and they feel they're just not ready to have a child, although the halacha says that's not an exemption, I always tell them, use your good judgment and just listen to what I'm saying. It's the worst possible thing to force a child down a young couple's throat. That's all. And I'll deal with the Rabbani Shalom. That's all. Because I really believe that. It's just not healthy.
But you can't extend that to abortion.
I cannot extend that to abortion.
Because that,
absolutely.
You could use that same argument, but it's a different thing.
It's
but
a different
if you're
thing.
Saying it's the worst.
Abortion
possible,
is murder.
But that's what people use as an argument for.
I understand.
They don't want to have an unwanted
okay,
child.
Okay, but that's.
Door.
I understand. Then don't have relations.
Yeah.
That's all. Use birth control that's 100% effective. Is there such a thing? 100% effective?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Absolutely.
Close. No, close.
Close to it?
Control.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll stop here, Rabotai.
Have a wonderful vacation.
Yeah, enjoy as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No. It doesn't. Yes.
Was the last thing you said actually the only